When you think of joy, what comes to mind? If you feel like that shouting that out, I wouldn't mind.
Party on my deck.
A party on her deck.
S'mores. Maybe s'mores.
S'mores, yeah.
Party on Anne-Marie's deck.
Party on Anne-Marie's deck.
Live music.
This is a shared joy.
Live music.
Live music.
Babies laughing.
Babies laughing.
Alex Ovechkin.
What?
Alex, what? Ovechkin.
Alex Ovechkin.
Alex Ovechkin. Okay. I'm not sure I said it right. I don't know what that means, but some of you clearly do.
Walk in the woods.
It's a hockey player? Oh my. A walk in the woods. Okay.
Planting flowers.
Planting flowers. A cool breeze and
a new puppy.
A new puppy. Ooh. Say it. Blooming flowers.
Good food.
Good food.
Bluebirds in my birdhouse.
Bluebirds in the birdhouse, yes.
Coffee in the morning.
Coffee in the morning. And the company of friends. Thank you. I think of joy as something lasting, even when life isn't perfect. That thread that runs through no matter what happens. Of course, life may be difficult at times, and it may be difficult to feel joy, but there's a knowing that joy is there, an underlying sense of well-being and peace that is joy to me. Sometimes it's a thread, sometimes it's a ribbon, and sometimes it's a band. Happiness, in my way of thinking, are those moments that happen to us or that we make for ourselves and others that come and go, the spikes. But joy is constant. Of course, if you Google it, you'll find this explanation along with the exact opposite. There are those who think of joy as the variable, the flashes in the pan, so to speak, and happiness as the constant thread that runs through. For today, I'm using my definition of joy, though. In the 2015 animated movie Inside Out, how many have seen it? Oh, good. I'm so glad. It's so wonderful. We're taken on a journey inside the mind of an 11-year-old girl named Riley, where we meet five emotions that govern her world: joy, sadness, anger, fear, and disgust. Joy is closest to the original character, Riley. Even though she doesn't look exactly like Riley, she's the first emotion, and always striving to keep Riley happy and in control, having good experiences, keeping only the good memories for the core memories. She has this sort of Gabby and I had this whole discussion about whether or not joy is yellow or green. And she has this sort of yellowish or light green color for her dress. And the joy character for each person in the story has the skin color to match their human persona. Anger, Inside Out offers anger as a fiery, passionate emotion. You can tell that the red anger is red and has sort of a squatty body. And the anger in Inside Out is used, this is the energy that's used to get things done. It becomes what makes Riley aggressive and a go-getter on the ice hockey rink. And it makes her really good at ice hockey. And anger that rises up when we see injustice and inspires us to act, that's righteous anger. Some folks and actions deserve our ire, and that anger is well placed. And fear is this purple, slightly nerdy looking character. Fear, like any emotion, can trip us up, and it keeps us from fully living And it can also keep us safe, which is fear's purpose. That fear barometer is different for everyone and at different ages. I was with my goddaughter last week. In front of their house, they have these two white brick columns, and they're probably 6 feet high. My goddaughter, almost six, has recently learned how to scale up the side of one of the columns in order to stand or sit on top of it. She's pretty pleased with herself, and rightly so. I mean, I was happy for her that she had figured out how to do this. What she wants to do next, though, is she wants to be able to jump from a standing or crouched position at the top of the column to the ground. Did anyone else just get that weak feeling in your legs? Okay. Or feel your heart kind of trip over itself? Well, she climbed up the column again, attempting to jump. I was a bit worried because she had the dress that she was wearing was long-ish, and her shoes were plastic sandals. And in my camp counselor mind, that just was not a good combination for a jump like that. But she stood, and then she sat, and she fretted a bit, and she talked it out loud. She talked it through out loud with herself and then with her mom and me. And ultimately, from the top column in a squatting position, she said, "This is too scary. I can't do it yet." It was so interesting watching her progression, her process, though, after seeing the movie and observing the positive use of fear in real time. And I had mad respect for how she listened to her inner knowing. By the time I see her again, I expect that she will have jumped from the top of that column successfully. Disgust is this darker green female presenting persona. Disgust is portrayed as stubborn, honest, and easily upset as an emotion, with a strong focus on social and personal standards and a keen eye for what is unacceptable or repulsive, both physically and socially. You can imagine how this comes in handy. Think about the taste of spoiled milk or the smell of it. We know, don't we? Or rotten fruit or a worm in an apple. Disgust helps protect Riley by helping her avoid harmful situations or substances and by understanding what is considered socially acceptable or unacceptable, and to develop a sense of self and develop values. So when we think about it, when we think about our own values and we think about what's happening in and to our society right now, I imagine most of us may have felt a sense of disgust fairly recently, along with anger and sadness and fear. When we realize that most of those actions have gone against our most deeply held values, both as individuals and as a Unitarian Universalist congregational community, recent actions go against the values of our faith. You with me? And then finally, sadness is sort of this blue blob, maybe a middle-aged blue blob, I'm not sure. Again, a little nerdy looking with the glasses and the bangs. The swoop there. And she has a tendency to move slowly and to look on the negative side of things, pessimistic even, prone to fits of melancholy. And sadness is a gentle, thoughtful, compassionate, empathetic emotion. I won't tell you all that happens in the movie, but there may be spoilers ahead. If you haven't, please see these two movies. They're wonderful. And they're much more complex than I'm going to describe here today. In the beginning of the movie, Joy is doing everything possible to keep sadness at bay, to keep Riley happy, keeping only the good experiences, the good memories. And part of the movie progression is that Joy and the other emotions too, really, are able to accept sadness as a necessary emotion for a full life experience. We know as Unitarian Universalists that sadness is part of life. We talked about it often here at UUCL. Joy and sorrow are woven fine. In the sermon that I offered last October, The Wild Edge of Sorrow, we explored this quite thoroughly. We spent almost a year doing the Date with Death Club. Accepting sadness leads to deeper understanding. It leads to compassion and resilience. Accepting sadness leads to a deeper joy. Acknowledging our grief leads to emotional depth and spiritual maturity. Joy is the flip side of facing grief so honestly. So our transformational worship and study theme this month is joy. And we ask the question that we ask every month based on the shared value of love at the center of everything, with the center actually being everywhere. How does this practice of joy invite us to embody liberating love? How does joy set us free, make us free, keep us free? Joy isn't always about being happy or positive. It isn't just a feeling that comes and goes. It's a deeper part of us, shaped by our experiences, our relationships, and even our struggles, especially our struggles. And a joy that seeks to encompass all emotions is a deeper joy. There was a video that I watched some years ago in those first days when I got my first hand-me-down from my techie friend computer, in those early days of the internet. I've looked for the video 20 times over the last several years and have not yet found it. If anyone knows what I'm talking about when I describe it, please send it to me. It's a group of women kind of in flowing robes or dresses. They're women of color and they're dancing, but they're wailing, doubled over in grief. And it seems that that will go on and on. But then they stop. And they move into a beautiful, powerful, celebratory dance of joy. It's the joy of being alive in a body. The joy of being alive. The joy of the body alive. And then suddenly they stop dancing and they begin to grieve and wail and double over again. And then they move back into this dance of joy. Frederick Buechner, theologian, reminds us that the worst thing is never the last thing. The worst thing is never the last thing. As we reflect on the power of joy, we must confront the reality that joy is not always what we expect or what we're taught to pursue. It's not simply about chasing happiness or focusing only on the good. It's about resilience in some ways, about finding a way to hold that joy and sorrow together in a delicate but powerful dance. It's about remembering that even in the most difficult of times, joy can be the thread that holds us together and calls us back to ourselves. Three things about joy. Joy is an act of resistance. Cole Arthur Riley of Black Liturgies speaks to us of joy as a defiant act, a portal to survival for our ancestors. Joy, she reminds us, is not just an emotion we feel. It's a strategy for survival. It moves beyond emotion into a choice. It's the very thing that keeps us moving forward in the face of adversity. When we're told that we cannot, joy is what tells us that we can. When we're told that hope is lost, joy whispers that there is still beauty to be found, still life to be lived. You named it at the beginning of this sermon. Joy as an act of resistance is powerful. It is the act of making ourselves large when the world tells us to shrink. It's about not complying in advance. It's not about denying our pain, but about choosing to rise in spite of it, to find freedom in our bodies and our spirits, even when the world seeks to limit us. It is joy with teeth, as Cole Arthur Riley puts it, a joy that is rooted in resilience, a joy that cannot be crushed, a joy that keeps us going. It is essential to not let despair take our joy. Two, joy is a stance of defiance. Wendell Berry's call to be joyful even though you have considered all the facts challenges us to take a stance of joy even when the weight of the world seems overwhelming. It's easy to get bogged down by the facts, the injustices we see, the heartaches we endure, the challenges that seem insurmountable. Joy, in its purest form, isn't about ignoring those facts. It's about choosing joy in the face of them. It's about being ready when joy comes back. And joy does come back if we let it. We consciously can choose to let joy come back. We can consciously cultivate it. Joy is embracing the power we have to create beauty, to build community, to love fiercely, to live with purpose, and to hold on to hope in our darkest moments. This is a joy that transcends the fleeting moments of happiness we seek. It's a joy that's rooted deeply in our humanity, one that refuses to be stripped away, even in the face of struggle, and to find joy in the struggle itself. It is a joy that is deeply communal and not just individual. A joy that we share with one another, that sustains us when we are weary and helps us rise again when we have fallen. How many went to the protest yesterday? Feel better?
Yes.
Three, joy is our birthright. What if joy is our birthright? Joy, that light green yellow persona. What if we were made not just for survival, but for joy? This is the truth that I see in Inside Out, that joy is something we are born into and for. We are not born just to endure life, but to live it fully, with passion, with resilience, with laughter and tears. And while we may not be taught this in the dominant culture, we can know it deep in our bones. That joy in its truest form is not a privilege or a commodity, but an inherent gift. When we reclaim joy in the midst of sorrow, when we choose joy despite the challenges, we are living out our true potential as human beings. We are honoring not just our own resilience, but the resilience of those who came before us. The ones who fought to ensure that joy would not be extinguished, no matter the cost. Their joy was a defiant act, a refusal to be enslaved by despair. Do not let anyone steal your joy. Let us be joyful. Let us choose joy. Not because things are easy or because life is perfect, but because we know the power of joy in its most authentic form. What we were born with. Let us reclaim joy not as a fleeting emotion, but as a stance, one that calls us to rise, to resist, to keep moving forward. And to celebrate the beauty and grace that exist even in the hardest of times. In this community, let us choose joy, the deep, lasting joy that is born from struggle, our resilience, and our connection with one another. Let joy be the thread that runs through everything we do. For when we embody joy, we embody love. And love, my friends, is the most powerful force there is. Amen and blessed be.